Welcome to Ruby Riders Pagan Paradise, podcast number 38 on March 4th, 2013. Hey, everybody. I hope this finds you well. I am having a blast. Life is good. I have a bunch of letters to read you, and then I want to tell you about the Bill Conference, but you have to wait until the end for the Bill Conference. Okay, the first letter I have is from my friend in British Columbia, and it was in answer to the man in podcast number 37 who wanted more guys in heels, okay? Here's from my friend. Hi, Ruby. In answer to guys in heels, here I am in my thigh-high boots and lingerie listening to your podcast. One thing to remember about heels is no heel is too high when it's pointed at the ceiling. My dream position is on my back, heels on her shoulders gently, at first being pegged with lots and lots of sensuous eye contact, both partners in lingerie. So the suggestion of guys in heels definitely fired up your imagination, I see. That's a nice visual you paint. Thanks for sending that in. And, you know, as a friend of mine says, he would sign messages to me, heels up. It always made me laugh. One time, I wrote him back, and I signed it to the hilt. I think he almost spit out his coffee. Okay, here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. I love your podcast and all your work. I have a question that you have probably answered multiple times in the past. What harness do you recommend that goes with the Happy Valley Tango and that I can also wear and fuck my wife with? Specifically, a harness that I can wear and fuck my wife with the tango and my penis at the same time. My wife and I are going to Las Vegas for our 4th year anniversary. This is going to be our first time pegging. I'll tell you about it and how I brought it up to her in the future. Okay. The very first harness that comes to mind is the Spare Parts Deuce, which has two holes in it. It could qualify for that task. The thing is when you describe this, the Tango is a double-headed dildo. So the Deuce is more made for a flare-based dildo. And what happens with the Deuce is you put your penis through the lower hole, and then there is a hole above it that will hold a flare-based dildo, and you can do double penetration in this manner. Now, if you think about the physics of it, or the logistics, or however you want to talk about it, if you are using a tango and you are putting the bulb portion in your ass, then that whole harness is going to have to slide way down and underneath you. And I don't know if it's made for that. I do recall encountering a couple of discussions about this over the years on the Reddit forums. None of them do I recall raved about that it worked really well. I think it was a bit of tricky to achieve because, you know, the Deuce has the two openings specifically for double penetration, but the dildo is supposed to fit in the top hole and sit above your cock. So switching the placement of the cock and the toy sounds difficult. I'm going to soon have a Deuce, and I've always wanted to try what you're describing. But still, I think it might be your best purchase because you can use a flare-based dildo with it, and she can use it with the tango to fuck you. So it's a good purchase for that reason as well. And then you sent another email. Yeah, Ruby, it's me again. While I was at work listening to your podcast, hearing the intro song over and over again, which I find very sexy, made me think of erotic or exotic music that can help people get in the mood before or during pegging. I was wondering if you or any of the listeners have had any stories they can share. If so, what songs were they? Maybe this can be a topic for the future. Nice. I'd actually like to put that out there for the future. I would love it if everyone would send me their music suggestions. Just hit me a quick email, ruby@peggingparadise.com. I have a list of music that I have been putting together for sexy times, as they say on Reddit, And I'd be happy to share that with everyone, but I'd love to hear what everyone else likes as well. I know that when I've jumped on threads like that on Reddit Sex, what I find is that the younger people have vastly different tastes in music for sexy times than I do. But I want to hear what you all like. I want to hear what your favorite fucking song is, because I have mine. Okay, this next letter is from a friend of mine in San Francisco. Hi, Ruby. I've been catching up on your podcasts and think I may have some jelly toys that must be replaced. On your recommendation, I got the Tango Double. Unfortunately, no story to report yet, but our double dildo and one butt plug are definitely made of soft material that is a bit tacky. I'm guessing no bueno on these toys. I'd like to replace anything that is not healthy. Suggestions on a good, modest butt plug? Also, ironically, the Jacques Harness and Tango Double were purchased from SheVibe. I believe we talked about this earlier, and I've now heard your thumbs down vote on them. Do you have another vendor in mind? P.S. I also have recently purchased the Aneros Progasm Jr., which led to my first hands-free orgasm. I told my wife, and she was so turned on, she wants to see me do it again. Anyway, its shape with the two external stimulation tabs that curve down and contact the skin may be a perfect hitching post, quote-unquote, for your leash experiment. Not something I'm into, but the thought popped into my mind while listening to your podcast. Oh, I so appreciate the continuing leash suggestions. And good for you for sorting through your toxic toys. Tell your friends to do the same thing. Friends that you can talk to about sex toys. Okay, as far as a modest butt plug, it depends on what you mean by modest. Everybody's definition of modest is a little different. I think beginner's diameters are about 1¼ inches. Moderate or modest ones, medium, whatever you want to call them, about 1½ inches. And then some guys go up to 1¾ inches or even 2. I really like the Tantus Rider, not just because of the name, even though it is spelled exactly like my last name, but because it's a little, it's shaped well, and it is a little hefty at 1½ inches in diameter for some people, depending on your definition, but I really like the shape and the weight of it, and the flared base is designed well, so it goes between your butt cheeks. Tantus has a whole bunch of them. They also have the B-Bomb and the Neoplug, which are both 1.4 inches in diameter, and those are both good. Okay, as far as a good vendor, you know, this is how I feel about things. It's kind of like this. I've purchased things from SheVibe before as well. I'm probably not likely to buy much at all, if anything, from them in the future, just because I feel so strongly about the toxic toys. But we are all in different places in terms of what we can afford to buy where. I really like to give my business to the businesses that have the most integrity and honesty and care about their customers and won't sell them toxic toys. But I absolutely have been known to research the hell out of a toy and figure out which one I want and just go to Amazon.com and get the cheapest one. So that's an option as well. But as far as these butt plugs and things, and anything else that you want, here is a suggestion for you. Here's a deal for you, as well as one of the best stores out there. Go to Smitten Kitten Online. Shop there. Because that's the one that Jennifer Pritchett is part owner of, and they absolutely have incredibly high integrity. They're the ones that basically prove that you could have a business model of a company that refused to sell the toxic toys and have it be successful. So go there. They have more butt plugs than you can shake your ass at, and all of them are really good quality. But here's the deal part. Use the code RAD, R-A-D, okay? And you get 20% off. And I checked it tonight, you know, before I did this podcast, and it works fine. That code is actually from the Sex is Fun podcast, because there is One of the people on the Sexist Fun podcast is Laura Red, and you can get 20% off of anything there, anything that they sell, which is a hell of a deal. And I also highly recommend the Sexist Fun podcast. It's a great one. And, oh, so you got the Progasm Junior. That's awesome. And your experience with it sounds heavenly, and it also sounds really hot. I mean, if I were your wife, I would want to see that too. yeah, and kind of you to suggest that for the leash experiment. You know, I know not everyone is into stuff like that. It's definitely my more kinky side. There is a side of me, yeah, like there's a side of me that isn't kinky, right? But I will keep that in mind when I find an ass to leash, quite frankly. Okay, here's another letter. I have a question about my own rectum. About 7 inches inside me, I have what appears to be a second sphincter. As my lady has never fully got her fist inside me to feel it, I can only go by my feelings. When a toy is inserted, I can feel it hit the sphincter. If it is pushed farther, it is fairly painful, but can be penetrated. A male lover with a huge penis penetrated it and actually ejaculated past it. It was the most incredibly exciting and painful experience of my life. Remember, I am a sub. Have you ever experienced this, or am I abnormal? Oh, you are definitely not abnormal. Definitely not. This is all very explainable with normal physiology. The rectal canal is only so long, and although it does stretch to a certain extent, if you penetrate it far enough, you will come to the connection and the transition between the rectal canal and the sigmoid colon. There is a sphincter there. It's called Hirsch's sphincter. And I know about this from just a few different people who have talked about it, and I actually think I mentioned it on a recent podcast where a woman had written in saying that her husband was going to have prostate cancer surgery, and would he still enjoy pegging? I consulted with a friend of mine over at the Aneros forums who was treated for prostate cancer, and one of the things he mentioned was is that sensation of going past that sphincter, even though it has to be done very, very, very gently, was amazing, that he really enjoyed it. So you can penetrate past that point, and some men who are into the more extreme penetration do find it intensely pleasurable. But you need to be very gentle, very careful with that. It's not advisable to do it hard or quickly. I don't personally know of anyone who has had an injury or a bad experience with this, but it's really good to be careful how far you push your body when you're doing some of the more extreme stuff. I mean, sometimes I think about it and I think, good grief, there's people that get fisted like, you know, several times a week and they're fine. But I still urge caution and gentleness. I just think it's prudent, I guess. And that is not a word I use a whole lot, prudent. But please be gentle if you do this and know that your body is completely normal. Okay, this is a really fun one. It's an update from the man in podcast 37 whose wife agreed to try pegging with him in the near future after he talked with her about it on Valentine's Day. And I think this qualifies as another success story because they're moving down the line. So I'm going to play the music for you guys, Pegging Celebration Time. Okay, here is his letter. I was actually listening to podcast number 37 As I plowed snowy streets here in the upper Midwest yesterday morning, it was pretty cool hearing you speak my words on air. So cool that I listened to it a few times. And it's great to get a personal reply via email. I love the idea of me listening to a podcast about pegging, wistfully thinking about getting my ass fucked by my woman in a strap-on, driving around, and taking care of my working business. It's quite comical. No one's the wiser. I always tell my wife when we talk about other people or how weird pegging is, even in the face of how successful someone might be, that in fact they may be a closet kinkster. Maybe not even closeted, but we don't know about it. Considering the amount of porn and the extent of the content of the porn out there, everyone is weird. They're just not talking about it. That guy in the suit or the dude in the safety vest directing traffic might love wearing a ball gag and panties. And that woman behind the counter at Starbucks or the lady waiting for the bus in a business suit might love being covered in cum or having her picture taken in public with her skirt up. You really never know. It doesn't take away from anyone's accomplishments. It just makes them human. Love what you love. Because I work some weekends, I get a day off during the week to even out a 40-hour week. Today I took my son to school early in the morning, then did a bit of work on the computers, and my wife and I had an awesome session in the shower. She came a couple of times and then finished me off with the specialty blowjob with a couple of fingers. Fucking amazing. Again, a lot of laughter. Granted, I start seeing white spots, and I have to sit down or have her gently hold me up after I come during these sessions. Then we went to a coffee shop and worked on some projects, then hit the art museum. Came home, had a quickie and a nap before picking up the boy. Oh wait, after the shower session, the reason I started describing my day to Ruby Ryder, the pegging podcaster, I brought her downstairs to read her the frequently asked questions on your website. We read the new to pegging area, about if it makes him gay, does it hurt, why, etc. She said, I said, what do you think? She goes, well, those answers quell some fears. One of her fears now is that I'll want it all the time instead of regular sex. I assured her that I would not. Sometimes I don't want my ass gone near. I may have had some tacos or salsa or something and my belly hurts or I'm bloated or just don't want my ass played with. Whatever. I know I will not want to be pegged every time we have sex. I reassured her that I will still love fucking her without being pegged all the time. I asked her, what if she really likes it? She answered, what if I don't? I said, I guess that we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But I did ask her to make a concerted effort to look at your Pegging Paradise site more closely and maybe even listen to the podcast because of how sex positive it is. She agreed after seeing how well written it is and how much information is there. So onward and upward. Being open and honest with the one I love is exhilarating. After my day today, I feel more creative, more energized, and less bound up and constricted. Instead of a grind to be creative and open, it's flowing naturally. Granted, she fucked me with two fingers and I came a bucket load, so I am more relaxed. Keep up the good work. We, whoever we are, actually, how many of us are there? Do you know how many subscribers from iTunes? We all look forward to hearing your beautiful voice telling us all it's okay to want what we want and to love what we love. Thank you for writing in again and letting us know how things are going. There are some parts of your letter that I totally loved. Especially the last part about telling you all, it is absolutely okay to want what you want and to love what you love. It totally is. The other thing I completely enjoyed so much is just this one sentence here. Being open and honest with the one I love is exhilarating. Isn't it just? When you can totally open up and be yourself, it just feels magical to me. It's the most amazing thing, and it's so exhilarating is a lovely word. It's so energizing and just puts such a positive spin on everything, not just the relationship, but life. That's how I feel anyway, and it sounds like you feel the same. You sent me a lovely photo, and you two are quite the good-looking couple, and nobody else gets to see it but me. So thank you for that. As far as your wife's fear about you wanting it all the time, you know, some men do get pretty intense about wanting anal play once they start pegging. And I think I've addressed that 2 or 3 podcasts back. In fact, I got 2 letters from the opposite direction. One guy talking about he wants it all the time, and a woman talking about how her guy wants it all the time. And I'm pretty sure they weren't actually related to each other. They weren't in a relationship together. But sometimes this does happen. And, you know, it's the novelty of it all. It's the different kind of pleasure. It's the newness of it and the excitement of it. But as men usually come to discover, you know, not every night is an ass night. I like to say asses have personalities. Some nights are ass night and some nights aren't. Usually things balance out after a while, though. But it is very, very important for men to make sure that their women, or their woman, excuse me, the plural there, yeah, that might be your situation, but you haven't said that, to make sure that their woman is very well taken care of orgasmically and not at all neglected because of their intense desire for pegging. And even if you have to schedule it, that'll work too, you know. If you want to schedule it, that's awesome. I love that you sent her to my website and that my new to pegging section seemed to be fairly effective. One of the things I want to emphasize for you guys out there in similar situations to this listener, there are 2 things that really, really help move things along when you're trying to convince a woman to try this. One of the things I want to emphasize for you men out there in similar situations, there are 2 things that really help to convince a woman to try it who is considering this situation and hasn't decided yet. These 2 things are patience and information. It's always good to have patience and not push. But information is critical because, as you can see in this situation, she got a little bit of information and immediately said, oh, okay, so these fears have been quelled. It's really, really important to have fears addressed and also to be able to take the time to have the information, take it in and think about it. And I've been told this by several women who are now pegging like crazy. So take that in your hat and think about it. The you guys out there who are in similar situations. Okay. How was the Bill conference? Goodness sakes, I already wrote about this, but I'm still so excited about it. I'll be happy to tell the story again. It was awesome. It was so incredibly awesome that I wish I had arrived earlier, that I had seen more presentations, that I had taken a look around at all the things they had in the public rooms, and that I had stayed through the auction until the very end. That actually wasn't my situation for a whole lot of reasons that aren't important, but if I had it to do go over again, that's exactly how I would do it. I had no idea how awesome this would be. And, you know, the whole thing started with me arriving and finding my way to the audiovisual guys, which I was directed to do on an email. And I found them, and it's like they have the control room, and they were surrounded by black curtains. And they had their control room in there, the command post practically, with all of these computers and all of this equipment everywhere. And they were lovely, lovely guys. They were competent and confident, and they were like masters of their audiovisual universe. And they were so easy to deal with. The very first guy I ran into, he was almost like the concierge, and he said, okay, so like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to talk with this one guy, and you're going to make sure that your bio is correct, because that's how we're going to introduce you. He said, we just want to make sure it's correct, and then you're not maybe like a truck driver from Michigan or something. And we both laughed, and I said, but that would be really intriguing, wouldn't it, if I was like this pegging woman who was actually a truck driver from Michigan? And he shrugged and said, hey, it's not too late to change it. They had lovely senses of humor. It was like, all these guys are awesome. About 5 minutes before my presentation, a woman who was involved in this group, she got up there to the microphone, because what was happening there is there was a break that was happening, and then my talk was going to start. So everybody was on break. So she gets up to the microphone and she says, 5 minutes to strap on sex. And you hear this ripple of laughter amongst the people. It was awesome. And then there was a man who introduced me, and he sat with me for a little bit, the last few minutes before he got up and introduced me. And he told me, I have lipstick on my tooth, which was awesome. You gotta love people who will do that for you, man. I thanked him, and he said, hey, that's what friends are for. And then he's totally surprised me, and he said, so, what advice do you have for a man who's kind of shy, you know, about that area of my body? You know, anally, I'm kind of shy about it. I'm not sure. And who has a girlfriend who totally wants to start exploring that. And it was just an unexpected thing for him to ask me. And it just clicked me straight into teacher mode. I knew exactly all the answers to that. I knew exactly what I would tell him. And I just started talking. And it calmed me down. It was awesome. I don't know if he did that on purpose, but it was sweet. So got introduced, got up there to talk. The talk was really well received, I thought. I felt like I did a good job up there, and I wasn't sure what kind of audience I would have, so I kind of geared it down to the more conservative audience, made the language good and that kind of thing. Plus, I only had 15 minutes. So I tried to basically make a very persuasive case to try out pegging. I had one question afterwards, and it was an interesting one. The man who asked the question said, Have you seen any evidence or heard any stories about men who are less violent or more peaceful, basically, once they get into pegging? And that was a very interesting question. And actually, anecdotally, yes, perhaps not described exactly that way. But I have heard women say that once they start exploring pegging with their partner, that these men are often described as being a little softer, a little more considerate, and a little more willing to be vulnerable, interestingly enough. So I got off stage, and the guys in the audiovisual control room gave me high fives and told me I was great. And so after that, I saw a couple of very interesting presentations. One was from the guy who started PayPal. Another was from a woman who knew all about health and had some great suggestions to extending your life and being healthy. And then I went off and had dinner with my friends. And when I came back, it was the start of the party. They had quite the wild party there that night at that venue. And that is when I really got the flavor of what the Build Conference was all about. Oh my gosh. I mean, there were so many wild outfits. There were so many different colors of hair. It was wild. It was really quite eclectic. It was very bohemian. And okay, I've been to parties like that before where everybody's dressed up kind of interesting, and that's all fun, but I think the joy of it for me was these people are all so freaking smart, and they all have their own passions, because that was the commonality about the Build Conference, is passion. There were so many speakers there that if you walk up and talk to somebody, it was a pretty good chance that they had actually been a speaker. So it just really completely transformed the normal party experience to, if you walk up and say, so what brings you here? Why are you here? You could be talking to a presenter, and that person will bend your ear for about half an hour and tell you something that'll twist your mind around in a lovely way and just get you really thinking about something extraordinary. So that was what it felt like to me, was that everybody I talked to had something different that was totally fascinating to tell me. And as far as, you know, the reactions to my talk, the rest of my time there, occasionally people kept coming up to me and either saying thank you for speaking about strap-on sex at the Build Conference or asking me questions. you know, I had questions like one guy at the end of the evening said, you know, I have a girlfriend who's really conservative and I'd like to explore this, but, you know, how do I talk to her? So I kept telling people like that just to go to my website and find the article that says convincing your partner. And then there was one lovely woman with orange hair, literally orange hair. She just walked straight up when she had my ear and said, I have a harness problem. That was awesome. So we talked harnesses for a while. There was a couple who walked up and just, she said, you know, hey, it was great to hear you talk. And I just wanted to let you know, we just bought a strap-on toy last week and we haven't had a chance to use it yet. But, and as soon as she starts talking, he's kind of all embarrassed and he starts to walk away. And I kind of put my hand on her shoulder and said, it's okay, it's okay. And then there was this German guy who came, he was a total geek and he comes and he starts talking to me and his card says he is a computational and molecular biologist. He started talking to me about pegging being such a profound experience and how, what would it be like if we could do some surveys, ask some questions, collect some data basically, and draw some conclusions about all kinds of things, potentially, who would be most likely to engage in it. I mean, of course, when you start collecting data, you know, the marketing people's ears perk up. It's like, ooh, that way you can target marketing well. So he and I ended up having this long conversation about, I don't know, half an hour even. And in the end, what it really felt like was that his passion about collecting data and analyzing it and finding a good use for it, he was basically presenting a Venn diagram of where his passion would overlap mine. And he was making a really good case at it. It was awesome. Yeah, a lot of brain power at the Bill conference, a lot of brain power. And you know, every person I talked to, they were in some way extraordinary and seemed just so also open and brilliant and passionate about their thing. Or if they weren't a presenter, they were passionate about something else they'd seen earlier that day. So I got some feedback from my friend Mark, who was the one who gave me the heads up about the Bill conference call for speakers. This was on my Facebook page, and here's what he wrote. I didn't get to mention to you, spoke to a woman at the end of the night and your talk came up. She said she didn't see it, but her boyfriend did. He came up to her to tell her about it, wasn't sure he was ready, but was intrigued. She was excited, not just by the idea of having the opportunity to experience the role reversal, but that he would be open to the idea and understood what that meant about how the experience and even thinking about it could help him grow and open up beyond the limitations of masculinity. She was touched, and you accomplished what you set out to do. My goodness, that was good to hear. Because after I was done with my presentation, Mark's my friend, and I said, how did it go? What did you think? And his exact words I remember were, you know, you really made quite a compelling case for anyone who has never engaged in prostate stimulation or pegging to check it out. You made quite a compelling case. I think part of the reason that was so compelling was because of the whole prostate health issue. And perhaps I'm taking a little bit of liberties of taking the Aneros study and saying, hey, if you can do prostate massage with an Aneros, then imagine if you could do prostate massage with pegging. And yes, that will help your health too, because there are enough studies that show that. It is an assumption on my part. But I also totally advise them, if you're a man and you want to engage in solo prostate stimulation exploration, that the Aneros is like the toy. And I had a number of people come up afterwards and ask me what was the name of that. So I put it up on the Facebook link on the Bill Facebook website. And I did have a fair amount of interest in that, which is great. Because part of my passion with the whole pegging thing, what's necessary is that men actually get in touch with the pleasure that their prostate can provide them. And there truly is no better tool for this. and tool, device, toy, whatever you want to call it, it works. So it was nice to be able to present it in that manner, including prostate health as a side benefit, you know, and that's a pretty damn big one, is as a side benefit. I mean, you combine that, and I did my usual lure of, so guys, the men who experience combined prostate stimulation with penile stimulation say that they have orgasms that are roughly 10 times more powerful than anything they've ever experienced. And I paused, and then I said, so, if I was a man and I heard this, I don't know if I could go the rest of my life without trying this out, because that's pretty intense. And people kind of chuckled a little bit. So, yeah, the Bill conference was totally amazing. I didn't really understand the structure of it. And what I mean by that is, I didn't understand that the Bill conference was started as kind of a shadow conference, and that they hold it exactly at the same place as the TED conference, and that it's meant to be available to absolutely everyone. And that's exactly what it was like. And we did have some speakers show up to the Bill conference that had spoken at the TED conference, and they just come in, and if we have a, you know, the Bill conference has a slot, they give it to them. Amanda Palmer spoke there, and Christopher Ryan. And Amanda Palmer is a wild musician, and she had an amazing talk. I didn't see it, but I heard about it, and I watched the TED talk, which is already up, about how the whole structure of getting paid as a musician is not the way it needs to be. It needs to be asking to be supported, not being forced to pay for it. And she makes quite an amazing case for it. It's really something to watch. I'll put the link on my blog for that. And the other person that showed up I mentioned was Christopher Ryan. Now, he's the author of Sex at Dawn, and that is the book that takes a look at the evolution of sexuality, specifically with the evolution of monogamy, and makes the case that maybe monogamy isn't the end-all be-all for relationships that it's made out to be. I really, really wanted to see his presentation, but I had to get back home, so I missed that one too. But everything got filmed, so ideally they'll get all these videos up and we'll be able to see them. So that was the Bill experience. Oh, and, you know, the most fun part for me was a totally spontaneous thing that I did. I was there talking with my friends, and we kind of reached a pause, and I looked over and saw this man standing by the door, very handsome, really nice suit. And I said, you know, I'm going to go say hi to the handsome guy with the suit by the back door. So I just came up and introduced myself, and we started talking, and we had a marvelous conversation for quite a while. He had given a talk that morning, and if I tried to tell you what it was like, I would totally butcher it, because the level at which he was speaking about what he was speaking about was so far above the layperson that he tried very hard to get me to understand it. And in that moment, I felt like I did, but I'll be damned if I can remember it well enough to tell you guys about it. I had had a couple of margaritas, and I think he was kind of blown away that he would meet someone that could speak that openly and easily about sexuality. And confidently. I mean, that's what I do. I talk about it every day. So we had some really a whole lot of fun talking. And then I checked the Twitter feed later on, and it's funny because I noticed he said, hey, I got my new Hugo Boss suit on, and I'm, you know, going to go to the formal party tonight. Well, damn, no wonder he looked so good. So I tweeted back and told him that. And I really enjoyed that man's company. And after a while, it was sort of like the wild people were standing outside of the back door talking about all kinds of sexy things, which is my favorite thing to do at a party. I had such a good time. So, yeah, Bill Conference. Awesome. Totally, totally awesome. I'm not sure where they're going to hold it next year. I already read some news reports that said that they are going to move it to another city. The news report that I found online was a little bit critical, basically saying that the upper crust of the TED conference were none too pleased at the whole sort of mediocre area of town, or, you know, implying that there's like high crime and different things like that of the Long Beach area. I don't know how true that is. I don't spend a whole lot of time down there, but I think that somebody who decides things had already decided that they were going to be moving it somewhere else next year. And since the Bill conference follows the TED conference, it will be wherever TED is. So I'm hoping it's nearby enough to where I can go again, because I really, really, really want to go to the Bill conference again. And next time I go, I'm going to talk about toxic toys. I have it all planned out. I mean, I could do it tomorrow. I love that subject. So, all right. I've bent your ear enough about the Bill conference. Can you tell I had a good time? Oh my God, I so did. I would like to thank Aneros for putting me up in a very nice hotel room and with the free breakfast. That made things so comfy to go down to that conference. So thanks for sponsoring that trip down there. Very much appreciated. And I think that is the end of my podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Writer. I have a Facebook profile and a page that you can like. You can subscribe to my blog. And my podcast is available on iTunes as well as on my blog. Please send any questions and all your stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. And don't forget to send me your music, your favorite music things too. Thank you all for downloading and listening, and happy pegging.